The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. Jeez, they're a rough crowd today, so I warn you, tread very carefully.
Such a serious telling off, Howard. You made me a smile. You definitely did. But things that are going on in international diplomacy are a little bit more worrying. And the latest is this visit by Jordan's King Abdullah to Russia. Yesterday, the king met with Russian President Vladimir Putin. And with everything going on around the world right now, international diplomacy seems to be really crazy. Let's not forget that the country of Jordan and the Jordanian royal family in particular are being very well funded by the U.S. government. Lots and lots of money flowing in from the U.S. And yet King Abdullah thinks it's okay to go off to meet with Vladimir Putin in Moscow. They discussed Syria. They discussed Afghanistan. Who's not discussing Afghanistan? They spoke about some weapons acquisitions. Apparently, there's going to be some sort of a military exercise that will involve Russia, Iran, China, and apparently Syria and Venezuela will also participate in this exercise. Russia is really managing to get its claws into so many places while the U.S. administration is focused on other things or potentially a little asleep. Another country which has a fascinating duality going on is Turkey. Turkey is a member of NATO and yet is acquiring weapons from Russia right now and also seeming to become very, very close to Russia. So there's so many different things happening. And of course, the Iranian issue is central to everything that's going on. I was contacted by Mervyn, who's very concerned about the meeting that's due to take place on Thursday with Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and President Joe Biden, thinking, well, if Joe Biden has this famous or infamous issue on his stain blot on his record, I don't know what you want to call it, about what's gone on in Afghanistan, sure, how can Israel go and meet with him and rely upon anything that he might say following the events of the past few weeks? So just some very, very fascinating things going on the international stage while certain administrations, certain people are involved in one particular area. There are some very, very strange things going on elsewhere.
Indeed, it is. We're living in bizarre times, but I wonder if we always say that. Well, let's look at other stories. The IDF carried out attacks against targets in the Gaza Strip last night on a resumption of the sending incendiary balloons from Gaza towards Israel. What details are known of this incident?
So 10 fires broke out late last night and even late on Monday night and into the early hours of yesterday morning after incendiary balloons were launched from into Israel from Gaza. The IDF in response sent fighter jets into attack targets in Gaza last night. They struck a weapons production site in Khan Yunus. They struck a terrorist tunnel in Jabalia. They struck a rocket launching platform in the Shajaya neighborhood in Gaza City. And also, they then struck another terrorist tunnel infrastructure near Khan Yunus. There was apparently an incident that took place last week where machine gun fire was used to try to fire against Israeli aircraft from Gaza. The machine gun fire apparently hit buildings in Sderot across the border. So some quite serious incidents going on along the Gaza border. And dare I say, an escalation of events. There is a clear movement towards an escalation now along the Gaza border. Threats from the Hamas administration that there will be, again, gatherings alongside the border. We already saw that one of them take place on Saturday, and we discussed the fact that an Israeli soldier was quite seriously injured in an event that took place along the Gaza border. But there is a clear escalation. Egypt is annoyed. They've closed the crossing into Gaza, not allowing goods and services to cross over. The Hamas administration are frustrated that Israel have stopped the free flow of money from Qatar, people now gathering along the border, escalating the situation, incendiary balloons. There are some people who are saying it's inevitable that we are moving towards another escalation along the Gaza border, that there will be some sort of an operation of some sort. It's only just a matter of when rather than if. But clearly, a lot of issues now arising from the Gaza border area. And some of this, I think, is down to what I mentioned yesterday, is that the Israeli government has really tried to change the paradigm in negotiating with Hamas, in negotiating peace along that border. I know that there's been a very concerted effort to try and get the bodies of those two Israeli soldiers out of Gaza and to try and get those two Israeli civilians who've wandered into Gaza and their whereabouts are currently unknown, to try and get them out of Gaza. That comes at a very, very high price. The Israeli government has been putting a lot of pressure on Hamas in order to try and get them to agree to this particular exchange and to an extended period of peace along that border. But instead, things somehow seem to be escalating. One of the rocket launches that was hit in the IDF attack last night was apparently located right next to a school. So these are the latest unfortunate events that we see going along the Gaza border. And as I say, it seems like there is a clear movement towards an escalation there.
Very worrying indeed. This is an interesting subject because, and to some extent, something that we were talking about a little bit earlier. I was introduced to the subject of the 75 doctors in South Florida that had staged a walkout because of unvaccinated people. And they're saying that it's just putting too much pressure on them and people need to get their acts together and get vaccinated. And we've been debating whether this is reasonable behavior or unreasonable behavior on the part of these doctors, fully understanding the frustration and the exhaustion and all of the issues that they are dealing with. But why this is relevant to the discussion here is that because it's been decided in Israel that unvaccinated teachers in Israeli schools will not be allowed into the classrooms at the start of the academic year. It's so interesting. Is this legal?
So the labor court has already ruled on the issue of whether employers are entitled to require employees to be either vaccinated or tested with a negative test within a certain reasonable period of time before appearing at the workplace. The labor court in Israel has decided that that is legal, that people can be prevented from coming to work if they are unvaccinated or don't have a negative test. And the government has taken that one step further and said to the Israeli teachers, don't come back to school on the 1st of September at all if you are not vaccinated or if you don't have a negative test. That is now the position. It didn't come easily. There was a lot of debate, a lot of opposition to that position being taken. Let's not forget that Israel doesn't have a surplus of teachers around, people just standing by waiting to jump into the classroom because certain of the teachers are not vaccinated, won't return to the classroom. So this has some quite significant ramifications for the Israeli education system where there is already a shortage of teachers. But the Prime Minister has overruled the Minister of Education on this particular issue and decided that unvaccinated teachers who are not tested negative will not return to the classroom and they will be put on furlough, not allowed to teach children if they are not properly vaccinated. And we've also seen in our hospitals, doctors who, while trying to do their best to treat everybody, have expressed immense frustration at the number of unvaccinated people who are coming in, who are requiring treatment, emergency treatment, who are ill, who could have done better, who the doctors feel should have done better in getting the vaccination in order to try somehow to relieve the massive pressure that the medical system is already experiencing as a result of now Israel's fourth wave, which is really linked to the Delta variant. And just the latest information on that is Israel is now recording a test positivity rate of nearly 6.5%, which is the highest seen since February. Fortunately, the R rate, which indicates the reinfection rate of the number of infected people that you will reinfect, is coming down. We feel that that's because already 1.5 million Israelis have received the third booster dose of the vaccine, and more are signing up. The age groups are coming down quite rapidly. pretty much everybody now, or in the next few days, almost everybody will be entitled to receive the third booster dose. And in fact, the Israeli government is taking it one step further and saying those who don't receive the third booster dose will, in a very short period of time, have their green cards withdrawn from them. So the third booster is now almost becoming mandatory in order to maintain the green card status, which allows you to move around freely and to go to work and to do things that you want to do in everyday life. So the rules, the expectations are becoming a little more draconian in some people's view. Because, of course, you know, there is this whole freedom of speech. And if we don't want to be vaccinated, then we shouldn't be discriminated against. Lobby that we see in Israel as well. But, you know, I've said this 100,000 times and I will continue to say it. There is absolutely no doubt that unvaccinated people are more prone to get infected than vaccinated people, that are more prone to be seriously ill. And as a result of that, the Israeli government has said to the teachers, don't come to school without a vaccination.
And I happen to agree with that. I'd love your thoughts on 34519 or 0618951019. What is your response to Israeli teachers, to Israeli unvaccinated teachers not being allowed to teach? Finally, Israeli scientists have succeeded in using 3D printed tumors to test different treatment methods. Tell us how this works.
So this is a fascinating piece of science, in my estimation, which has come out of Tel Aviv University. And this is a particular piece of research that's been done into the efficacy of potential treatments for patients who have a very, very specific brain type of brain tumor called glioblastoma. That's a type of a brain tumor which apparently has very, very low prognosis in terms of being able to, very bad prognosis in terms of being able to treat. And what the scientists have done is they've taken a chunk of the tumor from the brain of the patient with the glioblastoma, and they have printed it using 3D printing techniques into a type of a tumor which effectively is outside of the body. And then what they've done is they've taken the blood from that patient and they've pumped this external printed tumor. They've pumped the blood through this external printed tumor with a compound that exactly mimics the brain. And then they use that external tumor to try different types of drug and therapeutic treatments, one thing after another, just to see what the response is by that printed tumor to the different treatments that they're using, so that they can actually do the laboratory work, the trial and error work outside of the patient's body. And then when they see some sort of a positive response, potentially could use it on the patient in a live environment. Now, I think this is just an amazing development, and one just wonders how it could be used in the future beyond this particular type of treatment, the particular type of tumor that they've been treating at the moment. But I was just blown away, fascinated by the way in which 3D printing is now being used in so many different fields and so effectively. It's become, you know, a real industry of its own. Once upon a time, you know, when 3D printing first came about, we imagined car parts being printed out in a plastic extrusion type facility, parts that couldn't be acquired elsewhere, and parts that were needed to be fitted specifically. And from there, we've developed into some amazing scientific medical treatments, which I think is, you know, really astonishing. The research, by the way, has already been published in the journal Science Advances. So this is becoming something which is well recognized within the scientific community.
Absolutely fascinating, incredible to see, and really, really inspiring to see this amount of progress happening in Israel. It's about to go 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll of course catch you tomorrow. M says, ideally doctors should treat everyone without acting like a prima donna, but if they do boycott, they should boycott the anti-vaxxers. Linda says, good morning Mayhem team. Some of us are still trying to avoid obesity. Please share the top half of your weight loss plan. Please, Asablef. On another note, it is drizzling and it is lovely. My weight loss plan, which is going very well, thankfully, is really just about eating. It's about making sure that my blood sugar is stable. I eat protein and carbs at every meal. I am doing intermittent fasting. It's not for everybody, but it does certainly work for me. I don't eat from 8 o'clock at night till at least 12 o'clock the next day. And then I make sure that I eat carbs and protein at every meal. And it's really as simple as that.